Wow, Jasmine.
Yeah.
Is she, do you pick the music or does
Jasmine
she?
Jasmine picks the music.
I have to say.
I play all Hall & Oates all day.
I don't know
day.
If she's doing this because I'm here, but I mean, she played an Elton John song before and now Bruce, those are my
yeah.
two, those are my one and
she
two.
Knows. She
wow.
knows. She knows.
Nice.
Paul Liznick is joining us right now. Paul, of course, political analyst for WGN-TV, host of Politics Tonight, seen weeknights at 5:30 p.m. and then shown again at 10 p.m. on WGN's CLTV. Paul, how are you?
I'm good. Just eating a mini donut while I'm...
nothing beats these treats.
Do they have to pay for that extra mention?
No, you're fine. Everyone's
okay.
fine.
Is it dusted with cinnamon?
It's got to be dusted with cinnamon. That's
oh, my
that's
God.
That's what makes them good.
All right, powdered sugar is good, too, but okay.
we're 24 hours removed from yesterday's testimony. Was it kind of what you expected? Were there any major surprises?
Could you repeat the question, please, Bill?
I'm sorry. Everything I have to say, I previously said. Read it
there.
Are you
dead? No. All right.
You know, look. Here was the unknown. We haven't seen Robert Mueller in public testifying for about 6 years. So the last time we saw him, hey, he's strong. He's, you know, he controlled the testimony, and basically everybody was warned, look out, you're not going to control this guy. That was then, and this was now. And so here we saw a much more apparently or appearingly frail man, much more halting in his answers. It gave a lot of people pause. I noticed it. We, of course, covered it wall-to-wall on WGN, and I noticed it right up front as other people did and started tweeting. But that being said, what was the whole purpose of yesterday? You know, we always knew he was never going to go beyond his report. He said he would never do that. So Democrats were always hoping, saying, look, but given the fact that nobody read that report, at least we will get him to publicly tell us what that report said. In the end, he didn't really do it. In the end, he sort of said, when they would say, would you read that, he'd go, why don't you read it? And so it was really kind of a set of sentences that got made. I don't think Democrats got what they wanted out of it. And Republicans were a little careful. They attacked him a little bit, but not as much as they otherwise might. Probably nobody should be putting this, you know, hero who has given his life to public service on that much of a defensive, and some did, most didn't.
And yet, with all that you just said, Paul, both sides to some extent are claiming victory.
Well, they kind of have to, right? I mean,
yeah.
Although nobody ever says, well, we certainly took a whipping there. So, yes, they are. But I think what you have is basically, I knew that when things were over, the president, when he talked next, which was moments later, would set the tone and the pace for what we were going to get. Now, remember, the president said he wasn't going to watch it. Then he was going to check in on it. I think it's pretty clear he watched it from the first gavel to the last, given the number of tweets that he sent out during it. But out came the president. We won. I'm vindicated. You heard it. No obstruction, no collusion. He just kept with the party line. And I don't think that there's a voice louder than his to otherwise dominate that sense of things, which is why Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats still have to be very cautious, unlikely to proceed towards impeachment, because they just don't have a public that's up for that. And they were hoping yesterday might trigger some interest in it. I don't think polls are going to show that it did.
So, Paul, do you think that now, given that that Mueller has testified, we've had the report come out, are we done hearing about the Mueller report? Do you think that now this is the final, or will this somehow keep cropping up?
You might be done hearing, well, you know, you'll never be done hearing
no,
about
but
the
in terms
report,
of it having any kind of real impact on, as you said, impeachment or resignation
yeah,
or crimes and misdemeanors, I mean, is it pretty much, it's a wash?
Well, the question is, what do Democrats do next? I think that's what you're asking me. And essentially, Nancy Pelosi told us yesterday, next up, court battles. We're going to go to court. We're going to try and get people to testify, like Don McGahn, the former White House counsel. We're going to go after documents. The White House is basically saying no to everything we're asking for, whether it's in writing or not. So I think you're going to get a lot of those court battles. But as a lawyer myself, I can tell you, these things don't happen quickly. So even if Nancy Pelosi, when asked about impeachment yesterday, you know, she doesn't close the door to it. She can't do that. She has over 90 members of her caucus who are talking about wanting to impeach. So given the fact that she can't close the door, she's giving no indication that she will pursue it. So and these court efforts take a long time. So how they accomplish anything before 2020, I don't see how it happens. The bottom line, if Democrats are looking to remove President Trump, no matter what it is, people believe he did, perhaps he did. The bottom line is he's not going anywhere except to be tossed out by a 2020 election.
Paul, there was allusions yesterday to the fact that Donald Trump could not be prosecuted while in office. But then, the way it was shown yesterday, he could be once he's out of office. You got that too, right? You picked up on that.
Well, yeah, and I think some people get confused a little bit about that. Let me explain it. It was Congressman Mike Quigley from our area who brought those questions up. So here's the bottom line. You have everybody in the world saying nobody's above the law, not even a president of the United States. Forget Trump. That nobody is above the law, never a president. Well, what do you have here? You have a memo in the Department of Justice, and it's just a memo that says you cannot indict a sitting president. Now, Mueller kept referring to that as to indict would be unconstitutional. He's wrong. It is not a constitutional thing. What Mueller, I think, is saying, and what is constitutional, is that while the Constitution is silent about indicting a sitting president, the Constitution has an avenue for addressing wrongdoing. It's called impeachment. So essentially, what Mueller said in his testimony, Republicans say he exonerated Trump, Democrats say, look, he pointed out all this obstruction. The reality of it is, he pointed out all this obstruction, but he then said, I'm not addressing it, I'm not even considering it, because I don't have the power to do so. Essentially, Congress, here it is, I've done the work for you, you take the next step, the Constitution says it's you that has to do something about it. That's the reality of it. Now, there are statute of limitations on these things, 5 years. So if the president is reelected in 2020, his time in office will survive the statute of limitations. There will be legal arguments around it to say, you know, that the statute stayed, meaning it gets stopped while he's in office. Those are all to play out 5 years from now. But for now, the bottom line is, and the more likely result is, if you can't indict a sitting president, and that's the way it is, and the president is reelected, then whatever it is he did or is accused of doing will ultimately go unaddressed by the judicial system.
I'm curious as to his choice, Robert Mueller's choice, on which answers he deflected and which answers he gave. Do you know what I mean? There were times where I went, oh, he's not going to answer this, but he did. And then there were other times where I went, what harm could come in answering this? And he said, well, I've already written that down. What exactly helped him figure out what to answer and what not to answer? Because I couldn't figure that out.
Well, Bill, here's where the answer is, he was much more forthcoming in the second part, the afternoon part, in front of the Intel Committee, when the questions were about Russia. That's what Mueller wanted to talk about tomorrow. His view, right or wrong, I'm not judging it, I'm just explaining it, his view about the whole obstruction thing is, don't talk to me about it, I've got nothing to do with it. And he even said, and by the way, don't ask me about the Attorney General, don't ask me about the Steele dossier, I'm not going there. It was in the afternoon, when he was asked about what is Russia doing, are other countries doing it, that he did not mince words, and basically said it absolutely is going on now, today, will continue, and Russia's not alone, everybody wants in on this game, and Congress, the president, needs to do something about it. That's when you got him answering questions. It was more on the substance and not about, say, a particular question that he was asked.
So what's wrong with us, though, that we know that we know there's collusion with Russia, and we're all just going, well, what do we do? What do we do? Shouldn't we be doing something about it? We don't seem to be.
Was it collusion, though? Is it collusion, or is it that Russia is trying to proactively, infest our system? That's the question, though.
Look, here's what is known. And again, I'm always careful, as you know, I'm neutral on the air because you have pro-Trump people, anti-Trump people listening, and people often hear things the way they want to hear them. The bottom line is, there was clearly meetings between Trump people and Russians. All that is fact. It's absolutely out there. What has happened is that through conservative media, through the president's own statements, it has all been downplayed so much that essentially the world of Trump supporters, put it at 40-some percent, 43, 44%, basically say either I don't think it happened, or if it did, I don't actually care. The issues people care about simply are the economy's doing good, I'm good with that, you're giving me conservative judges, anything else that's happening, I don't much care. Now, is it hypocritical from the way things were under, say, the Obama administration, when President Obama would even think of meeting with a dictator? He was absolutely, you know, chastised for that by Republicans. How could he consider doing it? But you can look at the debt and deficit, Bill and Jim, the same way, which is Republicans are all about debts and deficits, and yet they don't seem to spend money fast enough, including the bill that passed just the other day, which is going to continue to increase the deficit. But research shows most people actually don't care about the deficit. In direct answer to your question, what are we doing about keeping Russians from doing it again? I can tell you there were two bills that went to the Senate yesterday that dealt with election security, and Mitch McConnell killed them both, won't even allow them to come up. That's your answer.
Because that seems to be the problem here. At the end of the day,
I'm
worried about the next 20 years, not the next five.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's right. And I think in the short term, I mean, you've heard the president say, I talked to Putin. He said, doing anything. Why should I question him?
Right.
So I don't think, I mean, in 2020, the government will tell you they're taking all sorts of steps. But when you look at the facts, it appears to be that Mitch McConnell, for whatever reason, is blocking the bills that could be assisting in election security. He's simply blocking them from going through. So not much is going to happen for 2020. Now, maybe once there's a Democrat in office, you'll see Republicans playing a very different tune and saying, now we absolutely have to cut deficits. Now we absolutely have to make sure nobody's interfering with the elections, because the last thing we want is a Democrat pulling this off. So that's when you'll see things change.
Paul, thank you for joining us. Always appreciate your expert analysis. Paul Liznick, of course, the political analyst for WGN-TV, the host of Politics Tonight, which you can watch tonight or any weeknight from 5:30 and then again at 10. And he's the host of Behind the Curtain, the podcast at WGN+. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
And you're very welcome. But not to mention the new book, Assume Guilt. It's political fiction all about Illinois corruption, but there's no Illinois corruption here.
Not even to mention that book, but we did.
Not even
so
to mention
we got it.
And save a mini donut for him.
Please save him a mini donut.
Back to the donut.
Thank you, Paul. Have a
thank
good weekend.
You guys. Be well. Bye-bye.
We'll take a quick break, and then Patrick McDonald joins us. We'll talk about a very anticipated new movie from Quentin Tarantino. Stick around, Bill and Jim on WGN.